Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. This week, I've devoted the entire week to talking about self-centeredness and how deadly it is. And I've, in my opinion, believe that this is probably the inroad of Satan into most people's life. I believe that our selfishness and self-love is what causes us to be hurt so much emotionally and hurt other people so much. It allows all kind of mental problems and on and on and on and on you could go. I really believe that if you could deal with this area, it would make a huge turnaround in your life. And I'm saying that based in part upon my own personal testimony. This is one of the very first things, I guess the very first thing that God ever nailed me on. And you could term this a lot of different ways. You could teach this whole thing from just saying it's when I made a total commitment of my life to the Lord that my life turned around. And I could teach on commitment and how important it is to be devoted to and be passionate about God. But to me, another way of saying all that, what I've been trying to do this week, is to say that when I became passionate in love with God more than I was about myself, my whole life turned around. And so I've been trying to share those things with you here on our television and radio broadcast. And I believe that there's been a lot of good things happen through this. Today, I want to talk about how do you get out of this self-centeredness. I've talked against self-centeredness. I've tried to expose it, talk about the damage that it does. So how is it that you change? I've had people in my meetings before. I just am trying to drive this point home against self-centeredness because it is so ingrained in our culture. It's actually been approved. Most people look at it as something good to be an absolutely, you know, ambitious and person that'll stab another person in the back, do whatever it takes, take care of number one first. That's been glorified. And so I spend most of my time knocking that down. And I've had people sit there before and they get my point and message and they're just like, all right, already. I understand what you're saying. How do I get out of it? That's what I want to use this last day to talk about and just tell you about how you begin to break this control of self-centeredness over you. First of all, the point I've tried to make this week is you got to recognize the severity of the problem. If you know, and if you put the same evaluation on this that I do, that this is a major problem, then it will demand a lot of your attention. And you will get results based on how important you think this is. If you think this is something that's trivial, well, then you just won't be very focused on it. You won't try very hard. If you'll place the same valuation on being humble that God has shown me, then you will concentrate on it and you will see greater results. So you got to recognize the severity of it. I've already talked about that. And then you got to recognize that every one of us was born self-centered. This is a natural tendency that each one of us has. It's not like it's something evil that you went out and sought this and pursued it. It just comes out of the inside of you. It's part of the fallen nature of man. You don't have to take a child and teach a child to say, that's your toy. Don't you ever share with anybody. You go over there and take something from somebody else. Don't think about their needs. Don't ever consider them. You just think about yourself. You don't have to teach a child that. It just all comes natural. I guarantee you, children will steal, take toys from each other. They will not think about what they're doing to other people. You know, when you were born, your mother had been up all night long, had been through labor, had done all of these things, and you didn't give a rip about anybody, man. You wanted to get fed, your diaper changed, you'd wake the whole house up. You take a 1-week-old baby into church, and you know what? It doesn't care that anybody else is trying to listen to the preacher or that they would rather listen to somebody else than you. A little kid will sit there and scream and cry and make a scene. When you're a week old, it's not necessarily wrong to be the center of the universe and not be aware that anybody exists but you. And when your stomach growls, you're going to make everybody miserable until you get your need met. That's not bad if you're a week old, a month old, maybe even a year old. But you know, the problem is when you become 30, 40, 50, 60 year old adult brats and you never have learned that there are things more important than you and how you feel. Now, I know I'm being blunt, but this is my last day. I got to get these things out. So I'm not saying these things to be angry. I'm just saying that all of us were like this at one time. It's natural. And it's the job of a parent to teach our children what Jesus said about it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. It's when you lose your life that you find it. If you want to really have life, then give your life away. Live for other people. Quit putting your needs first, and you will find out that you'll be more fulfilled by blessing other people than you will by trying to be blessed. See, Jesus taught all of those things. Most of us have heard that. But the truth is, most of us weren't really disciplined in putting other people first. We came into this world self-centered, and because our parents were themselves self-centered, when a little kid falls down in the supermarket throwing a fit, a tantrum, saying, "I want this piece of candy," and the mom says, "No, you are not going to have any candy until after you eat or whatever," and they say no. Well, if the kid is just willing to fall down on the floor and throw a screaming, yelling fit, you know what most parents will do? Not what's best for the kid. They won't stop, take the time to take them out to the car, to discipline the kid and bring them back and teach them the right lesson. But instead, most parents will just say, "You know what? Here, take it, you brat." And they'll give it to them so that they'll stop everybody else's criticism. They are sitting there wondering, what's everybody going to think about me? They're going to say, this kid's a brat. I'm embarrassed. And so to alleviate the situation, they do the short-term solution. They give them what they want, but without recognizing, you know what you've just done? You've taught that child that, hey, yourself can get anything it wants if it's willing to make a big enough fool of himself. If you are willing to fall down on the floor and scream and yell and cry, people will do. You can manipulate. You can control people. Self, it worked. It's a terrible lesson. But I believe probably every person can relate to exactly what I'm saying. And so our kids grow up, instead of coming out of this self-centeredness, actually most of us have nothing but self-centeredness reinforced and confirmed in our life, and we've never seen the benefit, the value, the blessing, the joy of living for other people more than we live for ourselves. This is a foreign concept to most people. And so the problem is that now we're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60-year-old adult brats that have been nothing but self-centered from our youth. And so you have a problem with your mate, and in many cases, it has nothing to do with them wanting to hurt you. They themselves are self-centered. They just didn't stroke you the way that you thought you should have been. They didn't recognize you. They didn't pay attention to you or whatever. And because of it, you took offense. And you know, I have dealt with hundreds, possibly thousands of married couples that when they come into my office and start telling me stuff, it is no different than an adult temper tantrum. I mean, I see it all the time. I've had couples come in and, you know, one of them gets hurt and so they just turn the cold shoulder. They aren't going to talk to them for a day, for a week, for a month. They're going to punish them. They're going to make them feel bad. Boy, I mean, pull your thumb out of your mouth and grow up. That is not the way to deal with things. You know, when you're doing stuff like that, when your husband can come home and feel icicles in the air because something's wrong, and he goes up and says, "Honey, what's wrong?" And you say, "Nothing." And of course, everybody knows that that's not true. You know what that is? That's self-centeredness. Now, I'm not saying that you haven't been hurt, but am I saying that is that the way to deal with it? No. Let me just share something. I don't know if I can get this out before our break, but I have a fundamental philosophy difference between what I believe the Bible teaches and what most marriage seminars are teaching today. Most marriage seminars are coming in and basically saying, here's the wife and her needs. Here's the husband and his needs. And so they try and educate the husband. You've got to meet these needs. You've got to do this, 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 and all these things. Then they teach the wife, here's the man's needs, and you've got to do all of these things, and you've got to meet these needs. And the people go to those seminars and come out with a list of what they're supposed to start doing to help meet the needs of the other person. And it comes into a performance type of thing, and they try and fulfill this. And it doesn't matter how sincere you are, you're going to fail. Now, if you do most of them, maybe it'll help improve your marriage to some degree. But I believe that the Scripture teaches a different approach. I can't make my mate. I can't make my wife do everything the way that I want her to. And if I'm waiting on her to meet all of my needs before I begin to start being happy and emotionally stable, then I am always, always, always going to have something that could have been done better and something that I'll be upset over. I believe that the way that the Scripture teaches us to deal with things like that, instead of teaching you how to get your mate to meet your needs, rather it's an approach of, well, yes, they should be doing this, but you know what? You were sworn to love them just as they are, for better or for worse. And if they treat you rotten the rest of your life, what you should do is go to God and let God fulfill that need in your life. Let God be your best friend. Let God give you a sense of self-worth. Let God do these things. And you get to where you start depending on God. I've had people come into my office by the hundreds and say, well, it's not fair. They did this to me. And I have literally seen thousands of marriages saved. And basically, here's what I do, is get them out of, I've got rights. Look what they did to me. And I get them into, what can you do for them? What are their needs? Why don't you go to thinking about somebody else besides yourself? And you'll find out that you can fulfill their needs. When you treat your wife like a queen, she'll treat you like a king, and vice versa. And you know, by doing that, I've seen lots of marriages saved. And it's, again, goes back to this thing about selfishness. I think that a lot of things that are being called Christian ministry today are just nothing but how to get your needs met and how to make your mate do this and do that. And I don't think that that's a proper approach at all. Anyway, we're going to have to take a break. Today's my last day to offer this tape entitled Self-Centeredness, the Source of All Grief. Our announcer is going to give you some information about that and advertise it, and then I'll be right back.
Andrew's teaching titled Self-Centeredness, the Root of All Grief is available free of charge in booklet form while supplies last. Request teaching T315 when you write or call. Our address is Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Or call 719-635-1111 between 4 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Or go to our website, click on Free Audio Teachings Online, and search for the title Self-Centeredness, the Source of Grief. This message is made available to you at no charge. As Andrew mentioned on today's program, you can also get the teaching on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Simply request teaching TSK7 when you write or call. Be sure to specify the CD or DVD when you contact us. We hope to hear from you today. And now, Gospel Truth continues.
So this is our very last segment talking about self-centeredness and the damage it does. We've already talked about how bad it is. We've tried to do a lot of things. And today in this segment, I just want to share with you about how to get over that. As I've already said, you were born this way. You were born self-centered, not caring that your mother had been up all night. You cried and took care of yourself at everybody else's expense. You're supposed to get out of that. How do you do it? Well, first of all, you recognize how damaging it is. And then you realize that you can't cast self out. Now, this is an important point that I pray you get. You know, it is not demonic. Now, there is no doubt that Satan uses our own self-love and self-centeredness, but you can't cast selfishness out of a person. I've actually had people come up after I taught on this before and ask me to cast selfishness out of them. The only way I can get selfishness out of you is to kill you. And then yourself will leave that body and you will be like Jesus and you'll be perfect then. But you know what? As long as you're breathing and still in this body, you are going to have a self-consciousness and a self-awareness, and you can't just cast it out. You can't just deny that it exists. In a sense, you have to manage it and you have to begin to start turning from it. And it's a process, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. It's not just a one-time thing. Some of you maybe have listened to these messages this week and you say, boy, I recognize I need help in this area. I don't think about anybody but myself. And you're just wanting somebody to wave their hand over you and you be set free. That's not the way that it works. It's a process. But it starts with a decision. If you've understood what I've talked about, and if you've accepted the benefits of loving God and other people more than you love yourself, and if you see that, well, then you've got some good knowledge, and you just choose to say, Father, that's what I want to be. And you make that choice, and you head in that direction. And you don't ever arrive, you just leave. You have to start in that direction. But you know, it was 1968 when the Lord really touched my life and just showed me this truth. Of course, it's developed and stuff, but I mean, I got this point that, God, I have been one self-centered, egotistical person. And God showed that to me March the 23rd, 1968. So here it is all of these years later, and you know what? I'm still dealing with that. There are times that I still have to deal with things. One of the things that I just recently dealt with is not in an arrogant sense of thinking I'm better than everybody else. But you know what? I had an opinion of myself that was down here, and the Lord is wanting to do more with me than what I have allowed Him to do. I haven't seen myself being used of God and doing some of the things, and it just was revealed to me that, you know what, that is self-centered. I was afraid of getting lifted up with pride, and so I had come to a comfortable level, and I wouldn't allow God to use me and to do some things. That's egotistical. That's self-centered. That is limiting God. And I have to change that and get into a neutral position to where I will accept whatever God wants to do with my life. I don't know if you got that. I hadn't got time to go into much more explanation. But there's all kinds of applications. You have to recognize that once you see that, then you just choose to go that direction. And you choose again the next day and every time. See, here I am 34 years later, and God is still showing me areas of my life where myself is interfering with what God is wanting to do in my life. And I have to deny myself and what I think about myself and go with what God says. You don't ever arrive. You just leave. And so what I'm telling you is that if you've accepted this truth, what you need to do is to say, Father, I agree with what the Word of God says. It's in losing my life that I find my life. It's in serving others. I need to esteem others better than myself. And you make that choice and you say, Father, today, help me to put somebody else ahead of myself. Help me to prefer other people and their advancement and their well-being above myself. And you make that choice today. And you ask God to help you, and something will happen. God will do something, and you will find the joy of blessing somebody else instead of blessing yourself. And then you get up in the morning, and you make that same commitment, and you do it again. And after you do this consistently for a while, you'll find out it'll become habit forming. It's actually more blessed, it's more happy, more beneficial, enjoyable for you to give than it is to receive. You may not feel that way right now, but that really is the truth. Some of you, I'm sure, have experienced that you did something for somebody that there was no way it could benefit you. It was a pure, unselfish gift. And it just did something for you. Well, you know what? You could live that way every day to where you live to advance somebody else other than yourself. And if you do that consistently, it becomes a personality trait, a characteristic, and pretty soon you've turned from being a self-centered person to being a selfless person. And you don't ever get there perfectly. You just head that direction. You know, to illustrate this, a friend of mine, James Irwin, he's now gone to be with the Lord, but he was one of the astronauts that walked on the moon. And I was on a number of different television programs with him, and we swapped books. And I was really interested in talking to him because I was in the Army in 1969 when they first walked on the moon. And then during that whole Apollo program, I was in Vietnam and stuff. And so I missed out on all this stuff. And yet I've been very intrigued by it. So when I met him, I started asking him questions. He gave me his books. I gave him my books. And I just started pumping this guy for information. And I was really shocked and surprised because I thought that when people went to the moon, the way it happened was there was so much technology involved that, I mean, they shot that capsule up and it was just a perfect trajectory that they landed on the exact spot, like an X marks the spot on the moon. And then I was just overwhelmed with the technology that was involved. As I talked to Jim Irwin, I found out that what actually happened was they just put him in a capsule and blasted off. They threw that capsule towards the moon. And for 4 or 4.5 days, whatever it was, they made a course correction every 10 minutes. And he said that sometimes they were just like an inch off. It was a minor correction. But he said there were some times that they were 90 degrees off. That capsule was going 90 degrees opposite to the moon. And sometimes they'd have to have a minute or 2 minute burn to get that thing back on target. So what actually happened, instead of that capsule going perfectly to the moon, it went like this, is the way that they got to the moon. And then when they landed on the moon, they actually had a 500-mile long target area that they were trying to land in. And when James Irwin got out of the lunar module, he said that they were within 5 feet of having missed a 500-mile long landing strip. That's amazing. In other words, you know what? It wasn't perfect. Everything wasn't complete. It wasn't just technologically perfection so that they shot it up there and everything worked. What they did, they headed that direction. They made course corrections. But you know what? They got there. They made it. And as he was sharing those things with me, the Lord put it back towards these things that I've been teaching about self-centeredness and dealing with yourself. And I saw that there's people that have come to me and have just wanted a one-time thing where I wave my hand over them and they never have any selfishness again. And the Lord made some comparisons and he says, it's just like that moonshot. You know what? You don't just boom, you're instantly there. But what you do, you have to get in and blast off and head in that direction. And then every 10 minutes for the rest of your life, there'll be a course correction. And you will be heading towards the mark, towards the prize. In my meetings often, when I'm trying to explain this to people, I'll say something like, you know what? You may leave this meeting, have prayed with me so that you could be just, you know, turned from this selfish life into where you're giving. And yet within 10 minutes, you get back there to the tape table and the very set of tapes that you wanted is gone. Somebody else is right there, got their hand on it. And you've got an opportunity to be selfish and say, no, it's mine. Or to say, you know what, I'll bless this person. I'll just wait later and order it. Or you'll get out into the parking lot and somebody will want to get in line. And instead of you just pushing and shoving and getting your bumper in front, you know, you let them go. And you begin to start giving other people opportunities. See, you'll have a course correction. An opportunity to operate in this every 10 minutes for the rest of your life. You don't get delivered of selfishness. You just see this and you start. You have to blast off. There's some of you that maybe you've already seen this and you've just gotten off course. And you know, all you need to do is respond to these programs by saying, you know, I knew this. And I need to get back to putting God first in my life and loving Him and quit putting my own selfish ambition ahead of God's will for me. And you just need to get back on the course. But there's other watching this program or listening by radio that the truth is you've never understood this. You've never thought it was wrong to be absolutely self-centered. You've adopted this thing about the me generation. You are going to take care of yourself. Number one, numero uno, first of all. And that's the attitude that you've got. And you never have recognized that it was wrong. And through these broadcasts this week, you recognize, you know what? This is a big problem in my life and I need to change. And that's why I've got most of the problems that I've got is because I love myself more than I love anybody else. If that's you, you know what? You need to make a decision. That's what a decision is. It's like blasting off. It's a starting place. You have to choose to be selfless. And you won't fulfill it today or tomorrow or the rest of your life. You might be moving closer, but you will never completely arrive. But you just start choosing. And there's some of you that have never blasted off, that have never gone that direction before. Today, you need to head that direction. You need to just say, Father, forgive me. I wasn't aware of this. God, forgive me that I don't care about you or other people or anything except myself. Forgive me for blaming everybody else and saying it's their fault. Father, it's not what other people have done to me. It's not what life has done to me. It's what's on the inside of me that's made me miserable the way I am. God, be merciful to me. Humble yourself. The Bible says humble yourself. If God humbles you, that's humiliation. Humiliation is what's done to you. But humility is what you do to yourself. You have to choose it. And I pray that you will make the right choice today. We have people standing by our phones that can pray with you and can help you. And I encourage you to call. And also remember that today is my very last day to offer you this tape entitled Self-Centeredness, the source of all grief. So I encourage you to call or write today.
Today, Andrew would like to offer you his booklet titled Self-Centeredness, The Root of All Grief, absolutely free. Call or write and request booklet T315, and we'll be pleased to send it to you while supplies last. Our address is Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Or call 719-635-1111 between 4 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Or you can go to our website and click on Free Audio Teachings Online and search for the title, Self-Centeredness, The Source of Grief. This MP3 download is made available on our website at no charge, where there is a wealth of free ministry material. As Andrew mentioned on today's program, you can also get the teaching on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Simply request teaching TSK7 when you write or call. Be sure to specify the CD or DVD when you contact us. You may ask, how can we afford to give this teaching away? In fact, our ministry partners make it possible. They have a heart to see more lives changed by the power of the true gospel. Partners make it possible for us to broadcast the gospel truth every day on TV and radio. They underwrite the website, the publication of books, audio and video teachings, and the free distribution of these materials to millions of people in need. They also sponsor the training of future ministers and teachers through Charis Bible College, plus the outreach of Andrew Womack Ministries to third world missions and benevolent projects. If you've been blessed by this program, we'd like to ask you to consider becoming a Grace Partner at a minimum of $30 per month or $360 per year. You can get partnership information on our website at awmi.net. Or if you prefer, you can write or call. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. We hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be at the Arizona Biltmore Resort in Phoenix for a Gospel Truth Seminar January 1st through the 3rd and in Colorado Springs for the annual Charis Bible College Men's Advance February 5th through the 7th. He'll also be in Houston, Texas February 12th through the 14th, Atlanta, Georgia March 5th through the 7th, and in Colorado Springs for the Charis Bible College weekend, March 12th through the 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
Yeah, yeah.
Join us next week as we present this special report on Andrew's second trip to Uganda.
This is Uganda. This is Uganda.